Lord God, we pray this morning as we come, as we listen to truths we can draw out of Scripture, Lord, truths we can draw out of people's understanding of love and of relationships. We pray your blessing now upon us. We ask, Lord, that you would come in power, and Lord, just make this a revelation to our hearts and to our spirits. In your name we pray. Amen. So today is Pentecost Sunday, and one of the ways we can look at Pentecost Sunday is about the idea of speaking in tongues. And if you go back to Genesis, there's a story of the Tower of Babel, where people are desperate to be like God, and they build the Tower of Babel, and they want to try and reach God. And God looks at what they're doing and goes, this isn't good. This isn't right. And so he confuses their languages so that none of them can communicate, so that they're isolated from each other. And what you have there is a reflection of that on the day of Pentecost is the opposite of that happening. Whereas people wait for God as they seek God rather than trying to achieve reaching him on their own. As they wait for God, as they humble themselves, as they submit to God, the Holy Spirit empowers them with the gift of tongues, the ability to speak another language, the ability for people to hear in their own language what God is saying. It's incredible. It's an incredible story. I believe in church there's two ways that tongues can be used. I think there's the personal way we use tongues as a prayer language for ourselves, which is a way of us communicating with God. Sometimes in church someone might have a tongue, which is a word from heaven for us, and that needs to be interpreted. But other times God just gives people the ability to speak a foreign language without realizing it. My dad in his previous church was a Sunday school teacher. And he was training with a girl called Mercy, and she was living in France for quite a period of time, and she was getting so down and so disheartened because she was just terrible at French. She couldn't speak French to save her life, and she was just praying to God, just take me home, God. I don't want to be here. I don't want to live in this place anymore. Just take me away. You know, and she became so down, and she just cried out to God, saying, God, you've got to help me. Well, next morning she got up, she went outside, and just she went, this is strange. I just understand that everything that everyone's saying to me, they're all speaking English. And she started speaking, and they're speaking to her, and she thought they were speaking English. What she hadn't realized was she was speaking French. And overnight, God had given her the supernatural ability to speak French. Now, I've got loads of friends of mine who've had that happen to them, or people who I know that's happened to. I'm going, oh, I wish that happened to me. That's an awesome, awesome gift. But these things happen. Now, you've got to decide whether you want to believe that or not, but I've met these people. They're incredible. And it's like, what? But God can do amazing things. But that idea of language, communication, breeds unity. When we know how to communicate, when we understand each other's language, we can communicate better. And this morning, I want to talk about relational life again, part two. Last week, we looked at the idea of how we be present with people, how we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And this morning, I want to talk about something called the five love languages. But before we get to that, the reason why I want to associate Pentecost with love is because the Holy Spirit is the power of God's love. If you look at what the fruit of the Spirit is, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Look at Corinthians chapter 13, and in the passage about spiritual gifts, about what the Spirit of God can do, he says, this is all meaningless unless love is the result. Unless love is the fruit. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, Paul writes this. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. It's been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. I said last week about how being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, aren't things that come naturally to us. They're things which are unnatural. And we need the power of God in us to help us have the patience, to help us have the grace, to help us love each other. It's what the Holy Spirit is there to help bring about, to help allow us to love each other well. There's a guy called Dr. Gary Chapman. And he's written a book called The Five Love Languages. And in his 20 years of ministry counselling,
he has recognized that there's five primary ways that he suggests that people communicate love to each other. Ways that love is shown between people. Now, I'm not saying that this is the be-all and end-all, but I think this is a helpful model and approach to understanding ways in which we can better harness our relationships. I said from the beginning, I want this series to be very practical. I want you to be able to go away from these sermons with things that you can actually put into practice in this week. So he suggests that there's five primary ways that you can speak to each other, which are words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. These are ways that we communicate as human beings. And you can apply these into your marriage relationship, into your family relationships, with maybe that's a parent and child relationship. This can be with your friends, with your colleagues, with your co-workers. You can take elements of this and apply it if you want to improve the loving relationships that you have with people who are around you. So this morning, I want to take us through these different love languages, explain what they are, and maybe enable you to take away something which might be helpful for you in this coming week. But I want to demonstrate, first of all, before I explain them, I want to explain to you, I want to show you how these five love languages apply in the life of Jesus. Because if Jesus doesn't do it, there's no point listening to it. So I want us to see how Jesus has recorded in the scriptures, there are recorded Jesus using these different ways of loving each other. So if we go to the first one, words of affirmation. If we go to Luke 24:50-51, Jesus blessed the disciples prior to his ascension. So before he went, he blessed them. He verbally affirmed them and blessed them. Matthew 26:10-11, Jesus affirmed the woman who washed his feet. He says to her, "Blessed are you. You'll be remembered always." He affirms her with words of affirmation. He uses words to show his love and affection for this woman. In Matthew 16:15-17, Jesus affirms Peter. Jesus says, "Who do you think I am?" He says, "Well, you're Christ, you're the Messiah." And he says, "Peter, blessed are you because this has not been revealed to you by man, but by God." And he then affirms him and says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." He uses the words of affirmation to affirm his love for Peter. And then, not Jesus, but I want to bring this one into play, Ephesians 4:29. We are commanded to speak only words of encouragement, words that are kind and full of grace to each other. That's what Paul's saying. In the life of the church, we have to speak words which are kind and encouraging and build each other up, not using slander, not using things which bring people down, but speaking positively of people. The next love language is quality time, spending time together. In Matthew 9:10, Jesus has dinner at Matthew's house. He spends time with Matthew. Quality time with him. In Luke 19:5-6, Jesus stayed at Zacchaeus' house. He spends time, quality time with him. In Luke 24, Jesus spends time with his disciples after his ascension. He gets them together and he spends quality time with them, showing that he cares about them and that he loves them. In Mark 4, Jesus teaches his disciples alone. He takes them away and he shares with them on their own. He has quality time with his disciples. This Jesus showing us how he gives gifts and how receiving gifts can be a love language. In Matthew 7, Jesus said God loves to give good gifts to his children. In Matthew 15, Jesus fed the multitude. He offered them food. He gave them. He shared. He showed his love for them by offering them something they didn't have. He gifts them with food. In Acts 1, Jesus says, "Wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the gift I will give you." Jesus wants to use a gift. He wants to give us a gift. He shows his love for us by giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 3:6, again he says, "Wait for the gift I will give you." Then we also see acts of service being used. Jesus acting in a servant-hearted way. He was the servant king. And we see in John 13, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. He loves them by doing something practical for them. In Matthew 8, Jesus touches Peter's mother-in-law and he heals her. Sorry, that's the wrong one. Sorry. Again, so in Matthew 8, we see Jesus healing the multitudes. He heals multitudes of people. He serves them by wanting to heal them. In Matthew 20, Jesus said he came to serve people. He came to be the servant king. He wanted to love by being a servant. And the last one, physical touch. It says in Matthew 8, Jesus touched the leper. He reached out to people who no one else would touch. He loved them by touching people. A physical touch. In Matthew 8 again, Jesus touches Peter's mother-in-law and heals her. That's the one I just read. In Mark 10, Jesus took the children into his arms. He put his hands on them and he blessed them. So although this is not a biblical principle of the five love languages, it's a helpful model that we can apply that we see demonstrated in the life of Jesus. And I recommend you get hold of some of his books, Dr. Gary Chapman. He's written books for married couples. He's written books for single people, for friendship. He's written books for how it applies into the military. He's written books for how it applies to parents and children and how you show love to your children. And I find this a really helpful way that you can apply love into your life. So how do we understand these five love languages? So the first one, words of affirmation. How do we understand this? Well, biblically, in Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." What you say has an effect on the people around you. We've dealt with this in church quite a lot. What you say will affect people who are around you. I said before, you know, that old nursery rhyme, which is a complete utter lie. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's an utter lie because the names that people call you are the thing which go deep inside of you and cause deep hurt. What you say to someone, with one word, you can change someone's whole countenance. You can change the whole direction of their life. And even affirming yourself, if you always speak negatively, negativity will always follow you. Because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. This verse here, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What it's trying to say there, it's saying, if your tongue brings life, the fruit of that will be life. If your tongue brings death, the fruit of it will be death. So the power that you have in your tongue, and James says this, that the tongue is like a rudder of your life, directing where you go. But it not only directs your life, it directs the life of the people around you. If you constantly persecute people with your words, if you always badmouth them, if you're always speaking negatively of them, that person will not feel loved. But if you affirm people positively, if you speak words of affirmation to people saying, I love you, or saying, I'm really proud of you, you mean a lot to me. These words of affirmation are a language of love which resonates with people. So speaking words of love in affirmation is critical. It's a biblical principle from Proverbs. We have to affirm people positively, not with a negative view, but with a positive view. Words of affirmation as well means saying things that we often assume people already know, or things that we assume are just unspoken truths. So often you can go, that person knows that I love them. That person knows that I care about them. But actually, that verbal affirmation of that speaks the power of love into their life. Because they may know it, but to be reminded of that really brings life into their spirit. That can be a great way of demonstrating love. Speaking the things which are the unwritten things that you already know, but maybe need to be said in order to demonstrate and affirm people in love. And this could be in a way of just leaving a thank you note for someone. Sending a quick email, just thanking someone. It hasn't got to be just in the words we actually use. It can be in the actions that we have. Communicating verbally words of affirmation to people. So then we go on. Quality time. How do we understand quality time? Well, in Hebrews 10:25, it says, let us not neglect meeting together, but encourage one another. The Bible is encouraging us not to be apart, that spending time together is a way we demonstrate love for each other. Whether that be in the life of the church, whether that be in your marriage, whether that be with your parents and children, whether that be with friends, work colleagues, quality time. Now, this isn't time where you're in the same room, but you're both on your Facebook, you're both on your phone, you're both ignoring each other, but you're in the same room. That's not quality time. Quality time is being together and allowing each other's being just to be together. To actually listen to each other. Taking from last week, being quick to listen. Quality time, what is it you make people feel like you're having quality time with them, is to listen to them. Understand them, hear their story, find out where they are. Quality time is a way that we can affirm people in a loving attitude. It's been said before that love is spelled T-I-M-E, time together. And we live in such a busy world. There's so many things that try and infiltrate our life with Facebook and Twitter and mobile phones and text messages. And I do this all the time. I'll be talking to someone and my phone goes and I'll be talking to them and I'm there looking at my phone at the same time I'm talking to them. I do it all the time. How disrespectful am I? If I was to carry on preaching now with my phone on, texting someone, you'd feel like, what's going on? But quality time is actually giving that person the time of day. It's not just being with them in the same room. It's actually spending time, which is quality, together, which actually builds people up, which actually affirms each other, which actually allows good communication to flow between you. Quality time is crucial for healthy relationships. This might be things like taking a long walk together, or doing things together, or taking a trip together. But it's not just being, it is being together. So quality time is a way that we can share love with each other. Receiving gifts or giving gifts. This love language we take from Luke 6:38, which basically says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. We are called to give to each other, be generous with each other. And so this love language is about giving someone something that they don't need. It's a way of sharing love. Now, I love when I get a gift which someone either knows, I didn't realize that they knew that I needed. Does that make sense? So they bought me a gift that I need. They realized that, and they bought it for me without me asking for it. That, I'm like, oh, that's really kind of you. Or when someone's bought a gift which they put a lot of thought and meaning into, and when they give it to you, there's a reason why they've given it to you. It's not just like, oh, I'll have this. There's a meaning behind it. There's a gift behind it. It just kind of means, oh, wow, thank you. That's just so kind of you. Being a generous people, giving gifts in relationships that you're in. Just, you know, your colleague at work just going, actually, I've just bought you a chocolate bar. Why? Because I'm just being nice. Husbands coming home with some flowers for their wives just because. Oh, I'm going to get everyone into trouble now. Wives coming home with some chocolates for their husbands. Just because. But it's just because. It just means so much, doesn't it? Not for any reason. Not because it's Valentine's Day or because it's my birthday or Christmas. Just because. It's really nice to receive something which someone has thought about for you. It's just such a nice thing to do. That language of speaking love to each other through giving gifts to each other. And next one, acts of service. If you go to Galatians 5:13, it says, rather, serve one another humbly in love. Serve each other. Do things for people. Last week, when I was here, I was frantically trying to sort out lots of things before the service. I had some photocopying to try and do for small groups. And Isabel, bless her, was great because she said, give it here, I'll sort it out, you go and carry on doing what you're doing. Now, for me, she has no idea. I'm saying this now to embarrass her. That meant so much to me because I had so many other things to try and organise last Sunday morning that the fact she's prepared to do that meant so much to me. It was hugely helpful to me, and I felt hugely blessed by that. When we do things for each other, when we help each other out, when we volunteer to step in to help with climbers because someone's away this day, or when we just do the chores around the house, we serve each other, whether that be husbands and wives or children and parents, doing things around the house, that can show that you love that person. That you care enough to do something for them, to serve them. Which is what Jesus does. He comes to serve, to be the servant king. He comes to be a servant to all, to wash their feet. That is an action of love which we can receive. And the last one, a physical touch. Romans 16:16. Be a bit careful with this one. Greet each other with a holy kiss. Paul was saying that affection, physical affection for each other in the life of the church, should be normal. Now, we have to be really careful with this one. It's where the sermon is vitally important, because not everyone likes being touched, and it's not always appropriate to touch someone. And in our very health and safety, safeguarding culture, it's almost like you don't go near anyone. But physical touch has been proven to release oxytocin in our body, which is a chemical that makes us feel better, makes us feel happier. Physical touch has a physical effect upon our body. Oxytocin helps with our stress levels, it reduces them, it reduces blood pressure, it goes down, our mood improves, and pain is manageable. So when oxytocin is released, that's a really good thing into our life. So physical touch can help release that. Now, whether that be husband and wife, or whether that be with your friends, with your family, hugs. I had a lady in my church when I was in Pershore. I was a youth worker. I went to the old ladies group one week. I was chatting to them, didn't really know them at that time very well. I gave each a big hug. And one of the ladies said to me, she goes, I've been widowed now for 20 years. And that's the first hug I've had in 20 years. Oh, look at that. Oh. But I was shocked. I was shocked because you just assume people have physical touch in their life. But it's so crucial to know that you're affirmed physically. And so I made a point every single Sunday, I would go up to this group of three or four old ladies at the back of church and I'd give them all a massive hug because I knew that might be the only hug they got in the entire week. And they were just so appreciative of that because they felt loved. They felt cared about that I'd gone out my way to give them a hug. It doesn't mean you have to go around hugging everyone all the time, but it can just be that tap on the shoulder, that pat on the back. It can be those small little gestures of physical touch, but that physical interaction is important in terms of trying to love each other, of trying to demonstrate love for one another. It's really, really important that that happens in your life and in the relationships that you have. But one of the big difficulties with these love languages, as I've said them, some of them I'll have said and you'll go, that's me. That's how I communicate love. Some of you will be like, that's not me at all. Now, the suggestion here is that actually we all have our different ways of communicating love. That although all five of these are good ways of sharing love and of expressing the language of love, for most of us, there'll be one or two of these which are our primary means of communicating love and our primary way of receiving love. And quite often, in relationships, the issues break down about love is because our love languages, languages that we're trying to talk about, are different to the person we're trying to love. Just like on the day of Pentecost, when the power of God came, the Holy Spirit came and brought unity to them in their language. So this one want to help bring unity to that sense of speaking love to each other. So you might have someone here, for example, who loves doing acts of service. They love people by doing stuff. That's what they do. But the person they're trying to love, actually, they need quality time. And so this person's trying to show love by doing things for them, but actually, they need quality time. And so although the person who is doing acts of service is doing their hardest to love that particular person, the person whose quality time is their primary love language doesn't recognize it. So they still feel unloved, even though the person is doing their hardest to love them. And this is where communication in our loving relationships can break down. Because you and your partner, you and your children, you and your friends and family and work colleagues might have different love languages that you express and that you use. And you've got to try and work out what other people's love languages are and what your love language is, and recognize that sometimes you might need to do something different in order to help make your partner or your friends or your family feel loved. So rather than doing acts of service, you need to go, actually, I need to take a walk with my partner. So we have some quality time, because that's what they need. But equally, if you feel actually acts of service is how you feel loved, your partner might need to do that as well for you. So the confusion comes because someone might need words of affirmation in a relationship, and the other person needs some physical touch. So one person's trying to affirm them all the time, the other person's going, I know you love me, stop it. What I actually need is I need a hug. That'll make me feel loved. So understanding your love language will help you relate better with other people. Knowing other people's love language will help you relate better to them. Now, I've thrown a lot of information at you this morning, which you're probably going, whoa. What I recommend you do is you go to the website, which is called The Five Love Languages, and there you can take a test to help work out your primary love language. I'd also recommend you go and buy the books about this, because although it's not necessarily a biblical concept, I hope this will prove to you that it's biblically sound, and it's a useful model to help you. It's not scripture, but it's a helpful model to help you practically in your relationships, whether that be husbands and wives, friends, parents, children. And you can take the test online to do with those different types of relationship. I recommend you do it because I've had friends of mine in marriage relationships who have been on the rocks, have taken this test, and it's profoundly changed how they've loved each other. Because they start to realize why, although they're trying their hardest in the relationship, why they're not getting anywhere. Because actually they're trying to communicate love in different ways. They need to understand how love is communicated in order to bring a better resolution of unity of love. So just like on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came and brought unity of language, so I'm going to pray this morning that the Spirit of God would bring unity of love to us, that we might see the power of how we communicate love to each other, that we might know how people are trying to communicate love to us. And rather than being beaten down by not feeling loved, recognize that actually there's probably more people who are trying to love us than we realize, but it might mean we need to see how they love. And also be prepared to say, this is what I need. This is the love that I need from you. So I hope that's in a practical way you can take it into the week, which might help you in your relationships. So go and get the books. They're very good. Go online. Most of it's there for free online on the website. I recommend you go and check that out. Try it out. And put it into practice in your life and see the difference it could make in your marriage, in your family, with your friends, with your work colleagues. There's also another really good book he's written, which is called The Five Languages of Apology. Using this principle about how we apologize to each other, recognizing that apology has different languages in itself, using this concept. Again, those things will really help us practically as a community love each other more. Let's pray. Let's finish there. And loving God, we thank you that you pour out your Spirit as your act of love into our hearts. Lord God, we pray that we would learn how to speak the language of love, taking Jesus as our example of how he affirmed people, how he offered gifts to people, how he had acts of service, he was a servant king, and all the other languages, Lord, we pray that we would know the power of love in our life. I pray for unity in our marriages, unity in our families, unity amongst our friends, Lord, and just better relationships with our work colleagues. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.